Low tech, low dollar, real impact.
Go public.
Residents in one rural community are getting a practical and gentle nudge to help change behavior and contain the spread of a potentially serious infection. It is a case story in public health success, all for as little as 20 bucks a head.
From governing and government technology, this is Go Public, stories of government getting it done.
Hi, it's Paul Taylor. On this episode, an old problem, tuberculosis, meets an older solution, cold hard cash, for a novel take on incentives in public health. The story played itself out in rural Alabama. It was originally reported by governing health writer Maddie Quinn, who talked with executive editor Zach Pack.
There's things that we see a lot, you know, with governments trying to get people to do something that they want them to do by offering different kinds of programs, right? Like signing up for job training or maybe a program to quit smoking. Today, this is a story about a state that wanted their citizens to do something, and they took sort of an unusual next step. What was that?
The state of Alabama, from the years 2011 to 2013, had three people die of tuberculosis in Perry County, which that doesn't sound like a lot, but when you consider that TB is largely considered a mostly eradicated disease, that was really unusual. And it was particularly unusual when you consider how small the town was where it was happening. A small envoy to the UN apparently called it the worst outbreak that he's even seen in developing nations. So that was what was going on. That kind of gives you a bit of a backdrop. And so they decided, just after several tries of going down to this county and not having people come in to get tested and come in to get treatment, to just give them cold, hard cash.
Just pay them directly.
Yep. $20 to come in and get tested, $20 if to come back and get their results, another $20 if they needed x-rays, and then $100 for finishing their medication treatment if that was necessary.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so let's back up a little bit. Perry County, Alabama, tell us a little bit about this part of the state and kind of how they got to this point.
Right. So first off, I spoke with Dr. Karen Landers. She's an official with the Alabama Department of Public Health, mm-hmm. and she works on communicable diseases in the state. And so she really described Perry County, and in particular Marion, which is the town where the outbreaks are concentrated in, as a really poor area. It's pretty rural. It's largely African-American. Unemployment is high, and so is the uninsurance rate. So it just seems to be the kind of place that time just sort of forgot.
In Perry County in Marion, Alabama, we had been struggling with the TB in that county for about 2 years and trying to increase participation in investigations. And by participation, I mean, we certainly, when we have a case of tuberculosis, we speak to the person, we find out who they might have been around, where they might have been, where are the highest risk areas that they might have exposed numbers of people. And then we contact individual persons, obviously not breaching the confidentiality of the case who gave us the information.
How did they get to the point of deciding to just hand out cash?
I'll let Dr. Landers tell you what they did.
Our other incentives had not worked. We had reached out individually to persons and had not been able to get adequate participation. We did a help fair where we gave away gift cards and gave away items that were useful to persons and various health-related information. And the health fair just didn't seem to yield a good response. And so one of our administrative personnel said that he felt like perhaps our being able to give cash incentives, again, albeit meeting a short-term need for people, but, you know, a small amount of cash that at least they were able to utilize for needs, that would be a useful approach. And so we tried it and we got a good response and it worked.
So, I mean, they just honestly felt like it was a last option, as I understand. Officials from the Alabama Department of Public Health, you know, went down there, you know, as Dr. Landers said, and tried other tactics. And this wasn't in our recorded interview, but when I initially covered this incident a few years ago, an official told me that they held a health fair that went so awry that people were throwing beer bottles at them. So
what?
Yeah. So, you know, they set up this, you know, camp somewhere where they had free food and really invited people to come in, get tested, or at least find out more information on how to get tested. And people just weren't having it. And so they were literally throwing beer bottles at them, as someone told me. And so that's when they kind of just decided, let's just give them cash.
Wow. So they exhausted sort of all their other options. So the crucial question here, I guess, is did it work?
Yes, it did. And Dr. Landers told me about it.
We identified in very rapid order a number of tuberculosis cases. In other words, persons who came in for testing who were actually in the early stages of tuberculosis. So we were able to get those persons started on treatment. And one of those persons actually was a child. So, wow. And you know, I'm a pediatrician as well as working in TB control. So that was near and dear to my heart that we were able to identify and treat this child so early, as well as treat six adult patients at one time. We identified those as well as the child.
They're not handing cold or hard cash this time around, but they're instead handing out gift cards to one of the local markets, you know, which is still, you know, a financial incentive in some way.
I mean, in some sense, this sounds pretty far out there, this idea of just giving people money to do something that you would hope they would do anyway. But I guess it's actually part of this broader move that we've seen in government, right? This whole idea of nudge theory and kind of slight incentives to get people to do something.
Right, totally. And so I actually surprisingly didn't find a ton of research out there on this idea, but I did find one study from Harvard that I thought was so interesting. And it looked at governments that, you know, right, like you said, were nudging people to do something. And they found that it was pretty generally effective, and it was almost always cost effective. For example, they pointed to a program where kids applying to college were given pre-filled out financial aid forms, and that led to an increase in college enrollment that next school year, just having that tedious paperwork already filled out for you. And they also brought up the issue of flu shots and how local governments tend to spend a good chunk of money on like PSAs and signs around town telling people to get them that they need to get their flu shot. But the rates of vaccination are almost always not what public health officials want. And so their point was is that governments haven't really figured out a way to get people, to nudge people to get their flu shot.
And I know that we have covered this nudge idea or even handing out money in terms of other things like, you know, governments, the city of New York a few years ago did an experiment with giving kids cash for good grades. Wow. So we see a lot of governments kind of playing around in this space, experimenting with this idea. But specifically within health, are there other places that you've looked at that have kind of tried this approach?
Right. So when I looked at specific places or specific programs that nudged people for healthy decisions, so I guess to take a bit of a devil's advocate, you know, there are several states that have, you know, some financial incentives for their Medicaid recipients for them to, you know, do for their when they have healthy behaviors, or they'll penalize them when they do something that's considered an unhealthy behavior, like a repeated trips to the emergency room. And the research is actually kind of mixed on the effectiveness of that. I know the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities found that Medicaid programs that will pay their beneficiaries like $5 or $10 to show up to their, you know, once a year preventative health exams, it does work in the sense that people will show up to those appointments, but it's really unclear as to if it has any impact on people taking charge of, you know, their long-term healthcare needs. And I guess a relatively high-profile example that isn't necessarily a financial incentive, but was considered to be a strong nudge was the case in Oklahoma City, you know, where Mayor, you know, Mick Cornett decided that the city needed to go on a diet, and he built all of these, you know, beautiful walkways and downtown and sidewalks and more residential areas and just lots more green spaces to incentivize people to get outside and to not always take their car if they were just going a couple blocks. I mean, that worked. You know, citizens of the city reportedly lost a collective 1 million pounds. So, you know, it seems that the research is mixed, but it generally is positive when it comes to nudging people for healthy behaviors.
I wonder too, hearing some of that research, if, you know, this idea of handing out financial incentives directly, if it's something that might be very effective in the sort of short-term case like tuberculosis outbreaks in Alabama, maybe the jury's still out on whether it's that effective in the long term.
Definitely. I mean, that's definitely kind of what I felt like I came away with this in reporting this story out, is that you need citizens to do something quickly, whether it's to get their flu shot or get tested for tuberculosis or just go to their once a year, you know, preventative health exam. It does work. But when it comes to long-term health effects, I think the research is a bit mixed there.
Well, it's very interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that story.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
With Maddie Quinn, I'm Zach Patton, and this is Go Public.
We'll link to Maddie's original reporting about cash versus tuberculosis in the show notes at gopublicpod.com. Maddie, of course, is also the host of The 23%, a podcast featuring conversations with women in government, which you can find on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and governing.com. Next time on Go Public, mayors as sharks and other stories from South by Southwest.
We're just getting started. Let's keep the conversation going. Tweet us at Go Public Pod and subscribe to Go Public on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. And you know there's always more at governing.com and govtech.com.